Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Thursday class, May 4, 2023, 1 John.
All right, one announcement before we get started. This Sunday is Communion Sunday, and there will be a meeting after Communion for Vacation Bible School teachers. This Sunday after Communion, a meeting for all the Vacation Bible School teachers. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 1 John chapter 3. The first epistle of John chapter 3. Once again, SOP calls for a few moments of silent prayer, giving you the privacy of your priesthood, giving you the opportunity of examining your own soul, making sure there's no unconfessed sin in your life. If there is, rebound is the order of the day, 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and your spiritual life. And now you can do a right thing. Worship the Lord the right way by the power of the Spirit of God. And therefore, in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer. Shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have blessed us with one more day of freedom in Client Nation, USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible-teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 1 John chapter 3, let's start our translation at verse 19. Verse 19. And so, by means of this impersonal love for all, we shall know that we are of the truth, and we shall have confidence in our hearts before Him, before God the Father. Verse 20, because if our heart condemns us, that is, we are out of fellowship with God, living in Satan's cosmic system, bear in mind that God is greater than our heart. In fact, He has always known all things. Verse 21, Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, because we're in fellowship with God, living the spiritual life, we keep on having confidence before God. And, verse 22, and whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father, because we fulfill two conditions. Condition number one, because we continually obey His mandates, His commands. And the second condition, because we keep on doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. Now this is a great promise. Whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father, because we fulfill these two conditions. We continually obey His commands, His mandates, and we keep on doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. That brought us to a study in the Word of God on the doctrine of prayer. And this is truly one of the most important doctrines in the Word of God. We have a lot of Christians in America. The sad thing is that a right thing must be done in a right way to be right. And we got a lot of Christians, but they're doing a right thing, praying, but it's not in the right way. And there's no power. It's no power. It doesn't go any farther than the ceiling. And yet, I expect all of you, everyone in here, and all of those who the congregation of Upland Bible Church goes all over America as a result of MP3s and emails, and I expect all of you to have a prayer life that is a result of you growing up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I expect you to have a prayer life that is a result of advancing to maturity, having virtue love brought to completion in your heart, having that fantastic motivational virtue of personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind, the great functional virtue, and occupation with Jesus Christ. When that is true in your soul, your prayer life will be powerful and effective and will accomplish much. You will love to pray, you will want to pray, and you will see fantastic answered prayer day after day after day after day. And that's why I have taught this over and over. The doctrine of prayer. We have studied 7 points on the doctrine of prayer. We just barely got started on point number 8. Point 1 was definition and description, and prayer is the believer's communication with God. You get to talk with God. How great is that? God talks to you right now through His Word. Through the Word of God, God talks to you. You get to talk to God in prayer. And you don't have to be highfalutin about it. All you have to do is be able to talk. And I know you. You all can talk. If you can talk, you can pray. Prayer is the believer's communication with God. God communicates to the believer through His Word. We communicate with God through prayer. It may be silent prayer, which is praying through thought, or verbal prayer. It may be accomplished when you're alone, private prayer, or in groups with others, group prayer. Point 2 is etymology, and we don't have to go over that again. Point 3, there are 3 categories of prayer that are received by God the Father. There is prayer from God the Son, Hebrews 7:24 and 25. There is prayer from God the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26 and 27. And there is prayer from believers, Hebrews 4:16. Let us, royal family of God, draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Point four was the approach of prayer, and all prayer is directed to God the Father. Matthew 6:9, Ephesians 3:14-19, Ephesians 5:20, 1 Peter 1:17. Point five was the agenda for private prayer. And in that agenda for private prayer, there are four parts. Part one is not necessarily always have to be used. That's rebound. Now, when you go into your private prayer, if you're out of fellowship with God, the first thing you must do is acknowledge your sin to God, 1 John 1:9. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard sin in my heart, then the Lord will not hear. And therefore, the first part of the agenda for private prayer is rebound. Second, thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Ephesians 5:20, Colossians 4:2, Philippians 4:6. Third part is intercession, praying for others. This intercessory prayer is an expression of impersonal love for all. Ephesians 6:18-20. And then the fourth part of your private prayer is petition. Hebrews 4:16. This is prayer for your own specific needs. Point six is taking a look at intercessory prayer. Once again, intercessory prayer becomes powerful and effective once you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Then your personal love for God the Father will motivate you to have impersonal love for all. Intercessory prayer includes several categories. You can pray for unbelievers, Romans 10:1. You can pray for unknown believers, Colossians 1:3-11, Romans 1:8-10. It includes prayer for believers that you do know, Ephesians 1:15-23, Ephesians 3:14-21. It includes praying for the communicator of the Word of God, praying for the pastors, Ephesians 6:19 and 20, Philippians 1:19. It includes praying for those in authority, in the government, praying for the president. It doesn't matter whether you voted for him or didn't vote for him. It had nothing to do with it. You pray for those in government, president, vice president, senators, representatives, the Supreme Court. Pray for them. You pray for them so that we might continue to have the freedom in this country to go out and present the grace gospel of Jesus Christ to people all over America, that they have an opportunity to believe in Christ. Pray that we have the freedom to assemble in a church like Upland Bible Church, assemble to worship our Lord through the study of the Word of God. And so you pray for those in authority, 1 Timothy 2:1-4. And it includes prayer for those who persecute you, who mistreat you. Luke 6:27-28. Now, that demands virtue love brought to completion in your hearts. Personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all, including impersonal love for those who persecute you and mistreat you. And that brought us to point seven, the 14 axioms of prayer. 14 axioms of prayer, point seven. First one, believers are commanded to pray. It's not an option. It's a mandate. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That's habitual prayer, consistent prayer. The second axiom, only believers have the right to pray. The third axiom, the only prayer that unbelievers can offer is the prayer of salvation. Faith in Jesus Christ. All the other prayers of unbelievers are not heard. Luke 18:10 to 14. You must be in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit when you pray. Ephesians 6:18 and Jude 20. The only exception to this is the prayer of rebound or confession of your sin. 1 John 1:9, 1 Corinthians 11:31. The fifth axiom, prayer is an extension of the faith rest life. Matthew 21:22. The sixth axiom, prayer must be offered according to the will of God to be effective. If you pray contrary to God's will, well, obviously your prayer will not be heard. Now, how are you going to know the will of God? The will of God revealed in the Word of God. That's why you find a sound Bible teaching church. That's why you assemble in humility and positive volition and grow up in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do that, you will know what the will of God is, because the will of God is revealed in the Word of God. And then the seventh axiom, the omniscience of God knew every prayer that would be offered in time, and He incorporated all the answers before time began. Jeremiah 33:3, Isaiah 65:24. And I always think back at, I've taught prayer and taught prayer, and we taught our sons. Now, I taught our sons when they were shavers like this. Now he's a deacon sitting back here. Got, I don't know what happened on his face, all kinds of stuff growing on him. We were up at Coal Creek and it was hot. We had a little property up at Coal Creek because we wanted to get out of 120 degree temperature down here. So we went up in the mountains and it was only 95 up there. So we got up there and where they call it Coal Creek, it is cold. Water comes right out of the ground, runs about 2 miles, goes back in the ground, and that's it. And there's trout in that stream. Well, where the kid, they didn't really like swimming in it because it was so doggone cold. They got in there, and we're sitting by the creek, and then one of the boys said, "Do we have any sodas, Dad?" I go, "No." "Oh, boy, I am so thirsty. I would really like a soda." I said, "Well, why don't you pray?" "Yeah." So they got together, and, "Father, we really would like a Pepsi." And amen, and they raised up, and floating down the creek with a can of Pepsi. And they go, "Wow! But prayer really works." Now, God, I love to see it. God does things like that for youngsters just to encourage them, and they get the chance to see God. God wants to do things like that all the time. I remember one time we were up, I was hunting and the boys were with me. We were way up on this mountain. It was steep. And it was so steep, I put the pickup in park, and when I went to get it out, I couldn't get it out. I was stuck up on the top of the mountain. And the boys are sitting there, and we were the only ones up there. "Dad, what are we going to do?" I said, "We're going to pray. So let's pray, because God knew we were going to be up here. He knew we were going to be up here. He knew we were going to get some R&R. So here we are." So we bowed our heads and we prayed, "Father, I'm just too dumb to run this pickup, but we're stuck up here on this mountain. And I know you knew all about it. You knew all about it before I was even a human being. And you already have the solution to it. And I'm going to thank you right now for the solution that you have. Thank you for meeting our needs. in Christ's name, amen. Raised up, and here comes a four-wheel drive vehicle up the mountain. Guys, do you guys have any trouble? Yes, sir. Can't get it out of gear. He says, oh, yeah, well, you're on a real steep. He says, I'll take care of that. I'll just pull you back a little bit. And then away we go. And you might, when's the last time before you see God provide that you thank Him for it before? If you really believe Him, if you really believe that He is the living and true God, if you really believe He knew all about you and you'd be up here at this time, and you really believe that you would be praying and asking Him and that He would provide for you, then you would thank Him ahead of the time. There was another time I was taking Derek and Dave and a bunch of football players from Indian Springs. We're all going up to Washington for a football camp. And we got up by Boise. We were outside of Boise about 30 miles. And all of a sudden, my vehicle just went kaput. It stopped. Right on the freeway. And I pull off to the side. And so I told Deb and all the football players, I said, we're going to pray right now. God's already got the solution to this. So we're going to pray and thank God for that solution. And not to worry. This will all be provided for by the grace and power of God. So we bowed our heads, and I'm praying. I thank the Lord. I said, thank you, sir. You knew we'd have this trouble at this time, and you already have the solution. Thank you for that, and we look forward to see how you're going to provide for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. So I said, amen. One of the football players looked behind, and a highway patrolman pulled up right behind us. And he turned and, Pastor Olson, that was fast. I said, yeah, it was. And the highway patrolman came up, and he, you got a problem? I said, yeah, my vehicle just quit. He says, all right, I've called in for a tow truck. He'll be here in just a few minutes and take you into Boise. And well, we went in and got it fixed, and away we go. Now, these are just little things, but God is the living and true God. And He wants to do things like this for you all the time, day after day after day. Now, you need to learn how to do a right thing the right way. You have to do a right thing the right way to be right. So the omniscience of God knew every prayer that would be offered in time, and He incorporated all the answers before time began. Jeremiah 33:3, Isaiah 65:24. The eighth axiom, prayer has maximum effectiveness once you attain spiritual maturity. James 5:16, Psalm 116:1-2, 1 Peter 3:12, John 15:7. The ninth axiom. Widows make excellent prayer warriors. 1 Timothy 5:5, which says, now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone has fixed her hope on God. And she continues in entreaties and prayers night and day. The greatest prayer warriors in this church have been widowed. We have had the most phenomenal widows in this church. And they have been a blessing to me and a blessing to Deb. And I just can't tell you how much I love those ladies. They're face to face with the Lord right now, but they were phenomenal prayer warriors. The tenth axiom, group prayer is bona fide. Acts 1, 13 and 14, Acts 12, 5 to 17. The 11th axiom, God the Holy Spirit helps us pray, Romans 8, 26. The 12th axiom, prayer should be a lifestyle. It should be a lifestyle. It should be habitual and consistent. And this is taught in the Word of God in the New Testament, is taught by the iterative present tense. You would graph it like that. The iterative present is the present tense of repeated action. It should be something that's repeated consistently and faithfully. So it's taught in the iterative present tense. It's also taught by the words always, Luke 18:1, unceasing, without ceasing, continually, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Romans 1:8-10, 1 Thessalonians 1:2 and 3, 2 Thessalonians 1:11 and 12, 2 Timothy 1:3. The 13th axiom, communicators of the Word of God, the pastor, they are to devote themselves to prayer and the teaching of the Word of God. Acts 6, 1 through 4. Now, this is my happy place. I come here every day. I know quite a while ago now, Rich Blair back here, I had no idea who he was. He had no idea who I was. And he was coming quite a ways, and he wanted to know if I was going to be here. And he didn't talk with me personally, but there was a message. I think it was Al said, there's a fella coming out, Rich Blair wants to know if you are going to be here or if you're going to be on vacation. I said, I'll tell you, you tell him this. Pastor Olson is on vacation every single day. 24/7, all year long, I'm always on vacation. I'm on vacation right now. And that kind of took Rich by surprise. What he means, sir, is that he is here every day. Every day. He studies every day. He teaches five times a week. He studies and teaches. And that's, well, when you're doing what God put you here to do, I got news for you. You're happy. So the communicators of the Word of God are to devote themselves to prayer and the teaching of the Word of God. The 14th axiom, when you pray in public, keep it short and to the point. Long prayers should be offered to God the Father when you are alone, in privacy. Long prayers in public are a sign of self-righteousness and hypocrisy, Matthew 6, 5 through 8. Now those are the 14 axioms of prayer, point 7. Now that brings us to point 8, where we start tonight. Point 8. And point 8 is reasons why prayers are not answered. Reasons why prayers are not answered. And we just barely got started. Point one, and we didn't even finish that. Reasons why prayers are not answered. First one, carnality. You're out of fellowship with God. Reversionism. You're living in Satan's cosmic system. You're living in interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred. You're not advancing going forward. You're retrogressing going backward. You have no filling of the Spirit. You have no spiritual life. Prayer must be offered by the power of God the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 6:18. Again, Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, sin, human good, evil, the Lord will not hear. And then we studied Job 35, 9-13. We're not going to go back to there, but I want you to turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 1. Now what causes fights and quarrels among you? And now he's talking to believers. Here are believers who are fighting and quarreling and mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue and getting after each other. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your lust patterns? Now we all have a sin nature. Old sin nature. That sin nature is made up of a whole bunch of lust patterns. When you get out of fellowship with God, you're now controlled in your life by your sin nature. And you're now operating by the lust patterns of your sin nature. You're not filled with the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. When you're living the spiritual life, the fruit of the Spirit is being manifested. Why, you don't have fights and quarrels. No, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But here are believers that don't have that. Instead, they're living their life by their sin nature and their lust patterns. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your lust patterns, the lust patterns of your sin nature that battle within you? You want something. You want something. When you get out of fellowship, you always want something. You got the gimmies. Give me this, give me that, give me something else. But you don't get it. So you kill. And we're living at a time in our country, and I love America. I love our nation, but crime is overtaking our nation. And now it's not a big deal just to go kill someone. If you want something, just kill them and take it. You kill and you lust, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and you fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. Well, you do not ask God the right way. Verse 3. When you ask, now when you ask in prayer, when you pray, when you ask, you do not receive. You see, when you are living by the lust patterns of your sin nature, lust destroys the effectiveness and power of your prayers. When you ask in prayer, you do not receive. Why? Because you ask with wrong motives, so that you may spend what you get on your lusts, on your lust patterns of your sin nature. When you ask, you do not receive. See, we're studying reasons why prayers are not answered. When you are not living the spiritual life, you're living in Satan's cosmic system, you're living by the lust patterns of your sin nature, your prayer effectiveness is zero. You'll pray from time to time, not very often, but when you do pray, you will not receive. James 4, 1 through 3. So carnality, reversionism, living your life in Satan's cosmic system means your prayers are not going to be answered. Second reason is that there's no faith rest. No faith rest life. God has given us all of these fantastic promises in His Word. And one of the great problem-solving devices is to take those promises and believe them, claim them by faith. You hear God gives you this promise, you look at it, you take it, and you believe it. And when you believe it, then that gets your head above water. And then you take the Word of God and you apply the truth of the Word of God to your situation. And you believe God's going to meet your situation. That's the faith rest life. But when you fulfill that, Matthew 21:22, everything you ask in prayer, believing. That's the faith rest life. Believing you shall receive. But when there's a breakdown of the faith rest life, then your prayers are not answered. The third reason is our passage, 1 John 3:22. 1 John 3:22, and whatever we ask in prayer, we receive from Him, God the Father, because we fulfill two conditions. Condition one, we continually obey His commands, His mandates. And two, we keep on doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. So, the third reason why prayers are not answered is your failure. You do not obey the mandates of the Word of God. You're not doing what is pleasing to the Lord. And so your prayers are not answered. 1 John 3:22. The fourth reason why prayers are not answered is insubordination. Insubordination to the known will of God. Now the Word of God tells us what the will of God is. But if you're not growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, you don't know what the Word of God says. So you don't know what the will of God is. So you wind up making prayers that are direct in they're in opposition to the will of God. Not God's will. That's your will. But not the will of God at all. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence which we have before Him, that if we ask anything, listen, according to His will, He hears us. But if you're not living the spiritual life, and if you're not growing up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, if you don't know what the Word of God says, then you don't know what the will of God is. And you will pray, but you oftentimes are praying in contrast to what the will of God is. The fifth reason why prayers are not answered, and I would say today this probably among married couples explains why their prayer lives are kaput. Failure of the divine institution of marriage. That is, there's no domestic tranquility in the marriage. Turn over to 1 Peter 3:7. First Peter 3:7, and this is addressed to the husbands, but this works. Marriage is there's two people. The husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's impersonal love for her when she's at her worst. That's a command for all you men. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Where? On the cross. When Christ went to the cross, he did so and paid the penalty for the sins of the world when we were at our worst. When we were sinners. His enemies. Spiritually dead. Totally depraved. And yet he loved us with impersonal love when we were at our worst. Now, in a marriage, there's going to be times when you see the wife has a sin nature too. Although Harlan doesn't think Debbie does, but she does. Well, I'll tell you what. I see Debbie's impersonal love for me day after day after day after day. And we have both grown up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and there are times when I'm at my worst and she loves me when I'm at my worst, and there's times when she's at her worst and I love her when she's at her worst. And we come out the other side and we love each other even more than we ever did before. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wife. Considerate. Considerate. Impersonal love for your wife. That's treating her with honor. Treating her with virtue. And for it's also impersonal love of the wife for the husband. Treating him with honor and with virtue. When that's going on in your marriage, why, you're both going to pray. And your prayers are going to be powerful and effective. But there are so many problems in marriages today. That's one of the main reasons why their prayers go nowhere. Their prayers go absolutely nowhere. They can't. Because there's no virtue love. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect, impersonal love, honor, virtue, as the weaker vessel and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Why? Why is this important? So that nothing will hinder your prayers. So that nothing will hinder your prayer. This is one of the main reasons why prayers of married couples go nowhere. Lack of domestic tranquility. No impersonal love in marriage between the husband and the wife. The sixth reason why your prayers are not answered is lack of compassion and grace orientation. Lack of compassion and grace orientation. Turn over to Proverbs 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the destitute, he too will cry out in prayer and will not be answered. What does that simply say? Well, this believer has no spiritual life. What's the mandate? 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up in what? Grow up in grace. Grow up in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you grow up in grace, then you treat others in grace. You treat the destitute in grace. I was at my barber here last week and getting my ears lowered. That's what my dad always used to say. And he says, Pastor Olson, he says, what, do you have a lot of homeless people out there by your church? I said, yeah. And in the church. No, I'm just kidding. And I said, yeah. I said, there was a period of time, 11 years, when the church couldn't afford to provide us with a house, and that was not a big deal. We lived here in the church. For those 11 years, living here in the church was, well, that's when the boys were growing up, and homeschooling with them was right here, too. And I met the homeless all around here. I met them. They all came to the door and knocked on the door. And they said, I need money. And I looked at them and I say, I've never seen you before. So I will give you some money. I'll give you some money. Now I'm going to also give you the good news of the grace gospel of Jesus Christ. And I tell them that Christ paid the penalty for all of their sins on the cross. And if they simply believe in Christ, they will have the gift of eternal life and live with Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. And I said, the Bible says, and I opened up the Bible and had them read it for themselves. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. And I said, here, you read it. A man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Now that's what God thinks about it. But here's the thing. When you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible tells us, David said, I've never seen the righteous go hungry. And he will provide for you everything you need by way of food and shelter and clothing and all the necessities of life, he will provide it for you. Now, I'm just telling you, that's what the Word of God says. Now, I gave you some money today. And I don't know what you're going to do. You can do whatever you want with it. And most of the time, they went over and bought booze. It used to be booze. Now, it's probably drugs. But I said, the next time you come, and I got a pretty good memory, I'll recognize that that you came once before, I won't give you money the next time. Next time I will give you anything you want. You want any food, I'll give you food. You want something to drink, I'll give you something to drink. Water, iced tea, something. If you need clothes, I'll give you clothes. I will provide for any of those ways, but I will keep on telling you, you need to go out and get a job. Minimum wage. Just a minimum wage job. They're out there. And so they would come by. And Deb and I were constantly giving them food and drink. And Pastor Olson, we got meat, but we don't have any bread. Well, we just had a gizmo here at the church, and I said, we are loaded with bread. Well, here's the bread, take all you want. And next time, Pastor Olson, we got bread, but we have no meat. Well, we just had another deal here at the church. I said, here's all this meat, take it and enjoy it. And one time, a fella knocked on the door. And I opened the door, and he's standing there. Short hair, suit with a tie. And he said, Pastor Olson, do you remember me? No. No. He said, well, I was a fellow that came here a couple years ago, and you gave me the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I believed in Christ as my Savior. And then you told me I needed to get a job, and that when I believed in Christ, God would provide for me. He would give me a job, logistical grace. He'd provide for me. And I went out and I got a job. And now I have a job, and here he is in a suit and tie. And he said, Pastor Olson, I just want to thank you. Thank you for taking the time to show me. He says, I was just going from church to church to church to church begging until I came to your church and you took the time to show me about the grace gospel and Jesus Christ, show me from the Word of God, and I just want to thank you, sir, for taking that time. Now, what is that? These people, that they're destitute. A lot of times by their own choice. And every time I said, can you do anything? Can you pull weeds? Can you do this or that? Then you ought to get a job with minimum wage and do that. But I'll provide, not more money, but I'll give you the basics of life. So lack of compassion and grace orientation is another reason why prayers are not answered. And then 7, well, it's probably the most basic of all. If you're not interested in God or His Word, your prayers won't be answered. You're too busy, everything else is more important than God or the Word of God, then your prayer effectiveness will be destroyed. So that's point 8, the reason why prayers are not answered. Point 9, prayer is related to grace. Prayer is related to grace. Turn over to Psalm 4:1. Psalm 4:1. The human author of Psalm 4 is David, man after the Lord's own heart. Oh. That was a good one. Cliff, you might want to get a towel and wipe off the back of your head right there. Psalm 4, verse 1. Answer me when I call to you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful. That's mercy is grace in action. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. And then Hebrews 4:16, and this is the great promise for the royal family of God, each one of us here. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace. Now, where do all your prayers go? Where do our prayers go? The throne of grace. The whole system God has set up. Our prayers go to the throne of grace. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, boldness, so that we may receive mercy, grace in action, and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. So prayer is related to grace. Now, what does that mean? Well, first of all, prayer is the privilege of the royal family of God. Secondly, since grace is the basis of prayer, no believer can come to God the Father in prayer and expect to be heard because of who and what He is, because of His merits or abilities or personality. Third, rather, every believer must approach God in prayer on the basis of the merit of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's grace all the way. Fourth, God hears and answers prayer on the basis of who and what Jesus Christ is. We pray to the Father in the name of the Son. The 10th point, the accomplishments of prayer. The accomplishments of prayer. First of all, it sanctifies food. It sanctifies food. Now, if you go into a restaurant, it's up to you. You can do whatever you want to do. There are some people who go into restaurants and they're really picky. And they send the food back. Not a good idea. Not a good idea to send the food back. And I have been told from the people who work back there, when that's sent back, sometimes they take that steak, throw it on the ground, stomp on it a few times. Maybe more than that. Anyway, when it comes back out, it's more tender. But when I love to go out, now Deb loves to go out. She's the best cook in the whole world, but I love to give her a break and we go out. But we always pray. When the food comes, we pray. Because of this principle, whatever this food is in front of us, we pray that God will set it apart, sanctify it to the nourishment of our bodies. Everywhere we go, we pray for the food when it comes. 1 Timothy 4, starting at verse 3. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving because it is sanctified, set apart by the Word of God and prayer. This was years ago now, and we went into... It was a restaurant owned by a Chinese fellow, Sam. It was called Sam's Taco. And he was Chinese. And he was very gracious and kind and helped me out when I locked my keys in my car. So I told Deb, I said, let's go in and eat. He was very kind to me. So we went in and ordered something. I said, this is very unusual to have a Chinese person with a Mexican restaurant. And so, what do you recommend? He says, a burrito. I said, okay. And when it came, Deb and I are praying. And as we're praying, I got the feeling somebody's looking at us. And there were some flowers there, and I turned around, and there was Sam looking through the flowers. Are you Christian? I go, yes, we're Christians. Sam, I'm Christian too. Why, that was a great relationship, and his kids came to our church here, and it was fantastic. But it sanctifies food. Secondly, it can restore health and add length to life. It can restore health and add length to life. Turn over to Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38. Isaiah 38, verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says, I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life, and I will deliver you from this and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city. Third accomplishment of prayer. It can deliver an individual from adversity and disaster, like Peter. And we studied this last time, Acts chapter 12. We're not going to go back there. Acts 12, Peter was in prison. He was going to be executed. And the church was all assembled, and they were all praying for Peter that God would deliver him. And God sent his angel, and the angel came in. The thing I love about this is that Peter is going to be executed. He's going to be executed. And so what would most people do when you know you're going to be executed in the next day or so? You're not going to have a very good night's sleep. Not Pete. Peter is probably snoring. He was sound asleep. How can you do that? Because he's a mature believer. He loves Jesus Christ. And he's sound asleep. Whatever the Lord has for him, he has for him. And so the angel, he probably said, Peter, Peter, get up, Peter, get up. So then the angel punched him. Hit him. Peter, wake up. And got him out of prison. The chains came off, went past the guards, walked out. And all the people at the church were praying that God would deliver Peter from death. And here he is at the door while they're praying. And that's where Rhoda, the servant girl, saw with Peter and went back. It's Peter! He's at the door! And they're all praying for him. And they all said, are you out of your mind? He's in prison. He's going to be executed. Well, Rhoda was excited anyway. And then fourth, it can deliver a nation from historical crisis and national disaster. And boy, girl, this is the very important part for the United States of America right now. We're a nation in apostasy. We're a nation that's turned away from God and from His Word. And this is where the pivot of mature believers, spiritually mature believers, because the prayer of a mature believer is powerful and effective and accomplishes much. And these are the prayers of the pivot, praying for the nation, praying for America. I love this nation. I love America. And I pray for it. It breaks my heart to see our nation in apostasy, turning away from God and the Word of God. But prayer can deliver a nation from historical crisis and national disaster. Isaiah 37. Isaiah 37. First of all, let's start at verse 5. Isaiah 37, verse 5. When King Hezekiah's officials came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, tell your master, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid of what you have heard. Those words with which the underlings of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Listen. I am going to put a spirit in him so that when he hears a certain report, he will return to his own country and there I will have him cut down with the sword. That person is Sennacherib. Now we're at verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it. And then he went up to the temple of the Lord and spread it out before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed to the Lord, O Lord, Almighty God of Israel, enthroned between the cherubim, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have created the heavens and the earth. Give ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. Listen to all the words that Sennacherib has sent to insult the living God. It is true, O Lord, that the Assyrian kings have laid waste all these peoples and their lands. They have thrown their gods into the fire and destroyed them, for they were not gods, but only wood and stone fashioned by human hands. Now, O Lord, our God, deliver us from his hand, so that all kingdoms on earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. And then Isaiah said of Amos, son of Amos, sent a message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Because you have prayed to me concerning Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word the Lord has spoken against him. The virgin daughter of Zion despises and mocks you. The daughter of Jerusalem tosses her head as you flee. Who is it you have insulted and blasphemed? Against whom have you raised your voice and lifted your eyes in arrogance? Against the Holy One of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then down at verse 36. Then the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. When the army got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies, 185,000 dead bodies. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, broke camp and withdrew. He returned to Nineveh and stayed there. And then one day, while he was worshiping in the temple of his god, this is the false god Nisroch, his sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, cut him down with the sword, and they escaped to the land of Ararat, which is Turkey today. And Esarhaddon, his son, succeeded him as king. Well, there was a great spiritual revival that was the result of the prophet Isaiah and his fantastic teaching of the Word of God. The people in the southern kingdom Judah turned back to Jesus Christ, turned back to the Word of God. And then, from that pivot of mature believers, they prayed, and the Lord Jesus Christ delivered them. Sennacherib said, I have the Jews like a bird in a cage, and I'm going to slaughter. Rather, God answered the prayer of the pivot of mature believers, and 185,000 Assyrians died one night, and they went back home. And the southern kingdom of Israel was delivered. So it can deliver a nation from historical crisis and national disaster. So it will deliver the United States of America too. But that depends on a pivot of mature believers who have grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Their prayers are powerful and effective and accomplish much. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.